It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, 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 we're not afraid, but we are relatively concerned and got a lot of reasons to. I mean, damn, because I just come across, some information that I'm like, yep, here it comes. You know, Dr. Paul was saying, hey, man, they're going to drag this out. They're going to drag it out a little bit more. And I'm like, how? How are they going to drag this thing out? December 31st, 2002, all right? I wrote an article, Sell Your House Now, because I could see what was going on. The same thing that happened, the savings and loans back in the late 80s, early 90s. You got up close and personal here in Arizona. I saw what was going on. It was happening again. So I go, it's time to get out. The call came from in the house, man. Run away, run away. So if people would have taken my advice then, they would have missed the peak. Also would have missed the drop. But the point was that I'm like, how are they able to inflate this guy? I see all this speculation. How are they going to be able to continue this and keep pumping in money? Well, they turned all the homes into ATMs. They made easy money. Just push the paperwork. I mean, if you think that they're going to be ethical in some way, if they're going to be honest in some way, if they're going to not purposely or with full knowledge just beat the crap out of the dollar and the economy in this country with we don't manufacture anything anymore, more regulations and taxes and this and, love me, I'm going to give you more stuff and $1 trillion Medicare prescription plans and $1 trillion wars and $1 trillion. I mean, it's just if you aren't anticipating that they're going to be real scummy, then you don't see this. I mean, I am constantly amazed at how amazed I get. I'm like, wow, man, there is no limit. Okay, well, what came out yesterday? February 23rd, 2010. Treasury issues debt management guidance on the supplementary financing program. That's what this thing is called, SFP. Washington, the United States Treasury, Department of Treasury today issued the following statement on the supplementary financing program. Now, what's interesting is this has nothing to do with the Department of Treasury. It's a Federal Reserve thing. Why the heck is this coming out of the Department of Treasury? It's a PSYOP. This has nothing to do. They put this money in here and it is not available to the Treasury. It's not available to the general fund. It's not available to Congress, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but why the heck are they doing the press release? They don't have anything to do with this thing. They created this thing. They give the Federal Reserve power over it, and and they're doing the press release for them. Who's running who here? Treasury anticipates that the balance in the Treasury supplementary finance account will increase from its current level of $5 billion to $200 billion. Now, how they're going to do this, action will be completed over the next 2 months, 8 weeks, in the form of eight $25 billion, 56-day SFP bills. Starting tomorrow, SFP auctions will be held each Wednesday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, unless otherwise noted. Well, otherwise noted is if it's not going to do what they want to do, then they'll just do it different. To get people to buy these $25 billion at a time over a 56-day term, they have to get people to give them money or invest it because they're going to give them interest on it. Okay. Where did they get this power? Well, they changed the law All of a sudden, the Federal Reserve now can have their own account that they can pay interest on. They didn't have this power before. This is what, you know, Paulson and Bernanke all screaming about and so on. They wanted, you know, Geithner, all these guys, oh, we got to give more power, more power, more power. Greenspan, oh, we need more dials to turn. Okay? This is a way for, and it's going to be more than $200 billion. I mean, it's going to be gazillions of dollars. I get, man, there is nothing they do that doesn't get, you know, like quadrupled. Okay? They are going to be able to, it'd be trillions of dollars. They're going to be take this money and put it in their drawer and then pay interest on it. Now, what happened to all this money that they gave in the TARP? They gave to the banks. They gave out, you know, they're going to take it and get it for almost no interest and then put it in the Federal Reserve little drawer over here and get paid, you know, what, 2-3 times at least the interest on what they it cost them to borrow it? Seriously? It's just a money machine for Goldman Sachs. There's a, but why are they doing this? What's the sell? Were they going to Congress? Oh, we need got to do this. You know, martial law, got to do this. Because they're saying there's too much money out there. We got to rein in inflation. We got to rein in the money supply. We got to rein it in. So we need a place to put it. Oh, and by the way, to get people to do that, we got to pay them interest. But they're not stopping the putting the money out to begin with. Congress sure as heck isn't stopping spending. So I'm going, wow, this is so amazing. Okay, so now let's go to a previous story. Now, this is, you know, this will kind of give you what for. This was January 5th, okay? This is Zero Hedge, you know, one of the sites that we put up a lot. No one got this. Since October 2009, the Federal Reserve has increasingly hyped the inflation meme by publicly touting that more than $1 trillion in excess reserves, whatever that means, the extra money, they just have it laying around somewhere, held by banks with the Fed, which, as the theory goes, could come flying out into the economy in a New York second. In one hyperinflationary swoop. They're going, look, there's all this money. Because a lot of people have been screaming, hey, man, you're not spending the money. I thought we gave you this money to spend the money on America. Americans get more money to spend the money. You know, where's that money? You know, where's the money? You guys been hearing this, remember? They're going, where did the money go? Why? How come you're not spending it? How come you're not loaning it out? Because they're sitting there holding it. Why? I don't know. No, they're saying, oh, we're afraid that's going to go out. Oh, that's too much money. It'll be inflationary. Well, then why'd you get to them to begin with? You know? So why did you give them money if they weren't going to use it or put it in? And then when they do, that's what the audit the Fed bill is about. Are you investing it overseas? Are you giving it to someone? I thought we were supposed to do it for us, you know, for the home team here. What is going on? They're holding it for something, to buy up assets at, you know, as prices go down on housing, commercial real estate and all this stuff. They just buy up everything and it's ours now, thank for playing. You know, I mean, there's something going on here. Well, this may be it. If all the world's a stage, then Bernanke will be winning an Oscar for his performance because the futures and currency markets are pricing in a Fed rate hike in the second half of 2010 in a robust U.S. economy. Now, this is their thing. Oh, we got, you know, futures and currency markets are pricing in that there's going to be a hike. You know, because in later 2010, there's going to be, oh, man, the economy is going to take off, man. There's going to be rate hikes. You know, we got to be prepared for that. Rather, we have postulated that this tightening theater is mere preparation for the second quarter, which has been confirmed today, at least with respect to more agency MBS. Now, MBS stands for, I can't remember. It's another dial that they turn. Okay. Yeah, it's in here somewhere. Purchased by the Fed. We suspect the Fed will wait until the U.S. dollar index rallies at least 81 or 82, whatever that means, before announcing the next round of long-term treasury purchases. Make no mistake, however, these pesky excess reserve dollars will eventually get itchy to rejoin their friends in the economy, perhaps when they amount to $3 trillion sometime in 2011, and the Fed will need all the tools it can strap around its bloated waist to rein them in. Okay, this all kinds of money. They need to be able to pull them in. Through the Emergency Stabilization Act of 2009, passed shortly after the Lehman bankruptcy, which they could get whatever they wanted passed back then. Ooh, martial law. Congress accelerated the effective date to October 1st, 2008 of an amendment to the Federal Reserve Act that would give the Fed the authority to pay interest on excess reserves. So what does this mean? The Federal Reserve now has the ability to entice people to put money in their little secret drawer or whatever by paying them interest. But on the left hand, while they're putting money out there at almost nothing, and then on the right hand, they're saying, oh, yeah, put it over here and we'll pay you, you know, twice the return on whatever it's charging to give it to you over here. That's just a money machine. And who gets to take the money out the discount window? You know, Fred down the street? Hell no. It only gets to be their little central bank buddies. You know, Goldman Sachs, to name one. So I'm going, wow, wow, wow. Seriously? You have given the Federal Reserve, a private bank, the ability to just shuffle money out one side and come in the other and make profit for people without having to do anything, produce anything. It's just a bank robbery. Big, a giant, a bank robbery. And what's going to happen? I don't know. We'll talk about it when we come back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, what's that mission? How about a little bit of freedom? Freedom is the answer. What's the question here on Declare Your Independence? Me, Ernest Hancock. And the first thing you need is a little bit of knowledge of what's up. What's up? Just what's up? Common knowledge holds that the Fed does not have authority to issue its own debt. What if they could? What if they could just issue their own debt? You know what? We just decided that we're just going to print up some money. And we'll just loan it out. And we'll pay interest. You know, and from that interest is going to come from just create more money. Kind of inflationary, you would think. At least now the Treasury, you know, the Congress says, yeah, we're going to need more money and we're going to spend on whatever. And you'll print that up for us, won't you? Yep, absolutely. Not a problem. What happens if the Fed can do it on their own? They just start doing it. And the Federal Reserve is just a private bank with our little, you know, private banking subsidiary buddies. Goldman Sachs rings a bell. Wow. The very thought of the Fed competing with Treasury at auction does not seem kosher. Yet little more than a year ago, with a balance sheet that had recently exploded several orders of magnitude, the Fed was seriously contemplating the issue and exploring it publicly. That's from Zero Hedge. A Wall Street Journal article from December 08 had this to say. The Federal Reserve is considering issuing its own debt for the first time, a move that would give the central bank additional flexibility as it tries to stabilize rocky financial markets. Oh, yeah, that's why they're doing it. Government debt issuance is largely the province of the Treasury Department, and the Fed already can print as much money as it wants. You know, they just say, yeah, we're borrowing it into existence, just go print more. Yeah, cool. Maybe just, you know, push the buttons. Electrons all over the place. Lots and lots and lots and lots of dollars. But at least there's a mechanism that, you know, you get to blame Congress. But as the credit crisis drags on and the economy suffers from recession, Fed officials are looking broadly for new financial tools, which means new ways of freaking ripping us off. The Federal Reserve drained $25 billion in temporary reserves from the banking system when it arranged overnight reverse repurchase agreements. Now, what they're talking about is they drained temporary, they drained it, you know. They, you know, these terms that they use, you know, what the heck does this stuff mean? They're pulling the money out of the system, trying to, as they're putting gazillions of dollars out on the left hand, they're trying to take from the right hand and put it in, take it out of the system so you don't have as much money supply out there to keep the prices from going up that much. But then they're promising to pay interest on the money that they took out, which is more money. Seriously. Seriously. Fed officials have approached Congress about the concept, which could include issuing bills or some other form of debt, according to people familiar with the matter. It isn't known whether these preliminary discussions will result in a formal proposal or Fed action. One hurdle, the Federal Reserve Act doesn't explicitly permit the Fed to issue notes beyond currency. Just exploring the idea underscores many challenges the ongoing problems are creating for the Fed, as well as the lengths to which the central bank is going to come up with new ideas, innovative, fresh ideas, because they love us so much. Are you starting to get the drift here? We're done. Stick a fork in it. Done, 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 done. If you give the Federal, I mean, it's bad enough now that they can just, you know, print it. It's not tied to anything. It's not a gold standard. It's not silver. It's not, you know, widgets or even sand or anything. I mean, you know, heck, make it something. You know, it's not tied to anything. They just, you say you want to spend it. You want to indebt the future generations. You want to cause them to be, you know, just go ahead and do it. You know, just keep printing it up. You know, we voted for it. You know, give me more goodies. Oh, you want to get this passed? No, that would be bad. Okay, we'll give you and your congressional district and your cousin's former roommate's ex-girlfriend. I mean, you know, we'll give them $1 billion. You vote for it now? Absolutely, man. Here we go. You know, this is what's going on. But at least they had to do that. Now they just create it on their own because they love us. But how they have to have a mechanism. How do they do that? Well, they're talking about creating debt here. You know, that's up and above this, you know, taking it out of the system and putting their own little special little bank thing. This is a whole separate thing. But, you know, think about it. Even if they just, you know, pulling out of the system in the name of we got to, you know, take the money out of the money supply so that we can, you know, have a deflationary type event. You know, we can take money out so prices don't go through the moon. You know, how do they pay interest on that? With what? They got to print more money. And then they're going to create their own Federal Reserve debt. This only ends in ruin. This cannot possibly be a good thing. It's not mathematically possible. It will not prevail. But the dollar is going to zero. But will it ever reach zero? Well, I'm smart friends. You know, they say, nope, yeah, it's going to zero. It's already, you know, lost 97, 98% of its value since the Federal Reserve started. But it's not zero. You know, so your candy bar, you know, costs $1.20. You know, it used to be, you know, 3 cents a nickel or a penny candy or whatever. You know, yeah, and your point. So, you know, if it wasn't for efficiency in production, you know, and mass production of, you know, everything, you know, we'd be, you know, screwed even more. It's, you know, where is my rocket ship? Where's my Jetson mobile? Where's my, you know, high standard of living? You know, I mean, we live pretty good. You know, in spite of all of this, not because of it, in spite of it. What if we got rid of all this stuff? What if we went back to, you know, a commodity standard currency? Heck, I don't even care what commodity, at least something. You know, gold works good. Gold works probably better than anything else. I mean, you can, it's divisible. You can divide it up. You know, it's useful. You know, it's rare. It's valuable. It's sought after. It doesn't degrade. It doesn't diminish in its value. I mean, in its ability to be, I mean, it doesn't tarnish. I mean, you know, I'm like gold, man. That's, you know, why not? You know, that or something better. I mean, what's better? You know, gold pretty good. I always pick that one. You know, you got silver, you got platinum, whatever, you gold. I like gold. Shiny. It's pretty. And it's heavy. So I'm going, okay, all right. Well, you know, as opposed to, I don't know, you know, pick something. I am this, here we go. And what are we going to do about it? What can we do? I'm telling you, I don't have a solution for you other than survive it. Because I don't think this is going to survive. I don't see how it can. I mean, they just keep dragging it out, just like my friend says. Yeah, well, you know, yeah, a lot of people are going to be screwed, and a lot aren't. People that know what's going on, they're going to make out. They're going to do okay. You know, I want you to at least survive this thing, but you're probably, what, pretty screwed already, especially if you're living on any kind of an entitlement. If you, you know, thought that a promise from government for you to, you know, the Social Security, you know, is it going to keep up with inflation? Hell no. What do? They changed the inflation index. All of a sudden they took housing, fuel, energy, and food off of what determined was inflation. You go, yeah, we're only at 3% or something. It's like nothing. Prices have gone down. As long as you don't, travel anywhere or need to heat or cool your home or live anywhere or eat, the inflation's down. Love you. Long time. Well, so what do we do? At least the first thing you got to do is free your mind. Get the revolution between the ears. Understand, we know the truth. This is on our business cards, a lot of cards that we do. We have the revolution logo and a guy, throwing a bouquet of flowers like a revolutionary bandit, kind of Molotov cocktail throwing guy, but it's flowers. And it says, we know the truth. And it's amazing the kind of people that come up to me and they say, truth? What truth? How do you know what the truth is? And I go, it's amazing to me the kind of people that ask me that question. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Hancock, let's get ready to rumble for our, let's rumble for our freedom. How about we just, can I not play? Can I go sit over here and hide? Maybe not. And is that what you want to do? I'm good with that. People go, how are we going to take it back? How are we going to go? What? It's going to fall. I don't need to save it. Everybody wants to save the ship of state. I just want the people to not die. Let's go put them in rafts. Screw it, man. It's got a big gash in it. Let it go. It's been real. Hasta la vista, baby. Hasta la bye-bye. Well, I get a lot of, I want to finish on this one thought. We get a lot of DVD packets that we put out in our back of our business cards and everything it has. In France and in Europe, the revolution was the logo. It had the revolution with the backwards love in it and everything. And it had this guy with his left arm upstretched and his right arm like he's going to throw a Molotov cocktail. Guy's black baseball hat on backwards, got a bandana on and so on, like he's going to throw a Molotov cocktail. Except being a Molotov cocktail, it is a bouquet of flowers. And I really like that logo. It came out on the internet. It was how the revolution was with the revolution logo. It's how it was known in Europe. And I go, very cool, because in Europe they always got guys, throwing Molotov cocktail, firebombs everywhere. And they go, oh, it's a peaceful revolution. I'm going, yeah, cool. I like it. And I even got an email from a guy out of England or something, said he created it. And he's like, cool, right on, power to the people. And on there we put "We Know the Truth," and what that was about was a skit. Gary Franchi and I from Restore the Republic and I were co-MCs for the Revolution March in Washington D.C. That was the summer of '08, and it was on the West Lawn of the Capitol Building, and tens of thousands of people there. I mean, it's where Adam Kokesh gave his great speech, introduced him for that and everything. And Dr. Paul spoke, and Chuck Baldwin and Goyette was there, and a bunch of big names. Michael Scherer from CIA that came out on stuff, and just a lot of great speakers. Naomi Wolf, and just a lot of people. So we're up there. How are we going to start this thing off? Well, a couple of days before we were there, and Gary Franchi and I, our wives are out, hanging up signs and so on, and we're writing our little skit that we did. And if you go, We Know the Truth on YouTube, my name, Ernest Hancock, Gary Franchi, We Know the Truth, or something like that, you'll see the YouTube of that. And what it was is we just said, stuff like, they say that, blah, 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 but we know the truth. That really it's whatever. And we went through, it was like 20 things. They say this, but we know the truth. This is what's really going on. They say this, but we know the truth. By the end of it, you got thousands and thousands of people going, we know the truth. We know the truth. Oh, it was a powerful time. So on the back of our cards, we put, we know the truth. It's amazing to me. It's only happens, less than half a dozen times. But it's so interesting, the kind of person. And you find them, in the Libertarian Party, Republicans, liberals, whatever. But they're all the same kind of people. They go, oh, the truth, huh? You know the truth? What's the truth? That's a subjective thing. There is, the truth. And I'm like, wow. Well, it happened to me when I was in Reno's. One guy comes up and he goes, oh, the truth. You don't know the truth. You don't know those compromiser guys. And I'm going, he goes, what's the truth? And I said, you know, it's amazing to me. You know, the people that come up and ask me that question. And he goes, a lot, huh? I go, no, just a certain type. And I just walked off. I mean, you know, I'm going to have an argument with a guy. You know, because it's the type of person, they don't believe that there is, I guess, the truth. You know, is there not truth? This is a big Ayn Rand objectivist thing. You know, A is A. Now, you may have a perception of it and you know, it's your subjective opinion on what A is. I mean, that's what Butler Schaefer's saying. He's a good friend of mine, a law professor. He writes for Lou Rockwell a lot. He writes a lot of books on chaos and so on. And you can't say anything. I go, oh, well, this is what happened here. And he goes, yeah, in your opinion. Was that my opinion? It happened. He goes, oh, really? In your subjective, your brain interpreted opinion. And he's really heavy on that. In your opinion. All right. I understand his point, but is there a truth? Is there, I mean, you know, something is or is not, you know, am I or am I not holding this highlighter? Well, I think I am. I mean, you know, in my opinion, I am. I mean, by all what? Sense input. My senses. That's kind of what the Matrix is about. Now, what is real? You know, how do you define real? If it's just electrical impulses into your brain telling you that, you know, you feel and hold and this and weight and everything. Well, you know, I guess if we can just program your brain that way, you can live in a generated, computer-generated world and that'd be real. Is that it? Well, it's from your brain's perception. That is what's real. All right, so you can have those kinds of arguments. But I'm just wondering if we can come to the conclusion that there is a truth. I mean, is there, you know, something is or isn't? Certainly enough that I'm willing to, you know, bet my life on it. You know, I'm like, is it really a cliff? You first. You'll find out for me. So this is, it's just somebody that would ask me that question. What is the truth? Wow. Is it that bad? Have we gotten that bad? Have they instilled enough doubt in us that we would, you know, ask questions like that? What is the truth? You know, something is or isn't. I mean, you got to define. I mean, you can't just go, the truth of life is, you know, whatever it is. But it makes me think of the City Slickers with Billy Crystal. And yeah, Jack Palance was the cowboy, and he goes, yeah, all you see Slickers come up here is a dude ranch thing. And he goes, oh, you come up here all worried about everything. And he goes, all you need to know is one thing. He holds up his finger, one thing. Oh, yeah, what's that? And he goes, I don't know, that's for you to find out. You know, what is your truth? What is your one thing? I don't know. For me, it's like, you know, I just want to be left alone. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You know, can I just be left alone? I don't want force or aggression or fraud perpetrated on me. Just, you know, just don't. No, let's not. I vote not. Well, here we have with Treasury bill rates now near zero. Now, this is from Zero Hedge still. It seems unlikely that the Fed debt would push Treasury rates much higher, but it could someday become an issue. There are also questions about the Fed's authority. I had always worked under the assumption that the Federal Reserve couldn't issue debt, said Vincent Reinhardt, a former senior Fed staffer who is now an economist at the American Enterprise Institute. He says it is an action better suited to the Treasury Department, which has clear congressional authority to borrow on behalf of the government. The fact that this question is even coming up, you know, it's better suited. It's kind of questionable whether they have the authority or not. And they issue debt. Debt that who's obligated to pay? I am very concerned that it's already, for a family of four, it's over $1 million per family. I mean, just all the entitlements that we have obligated for. You know, my granddaughter is just got this big, giant backpack full of rocks that she's, you know, you expected, got it on you. You know, fork it over. Is it your debt? So what do we do? Come up with a sign. I mean, how do you have an impact on this? And I'm going, we have a it's not my debt.com. It's ITS, not my debt.com. And you'll see the billboards that we put around Phoenix. And one of them is a baby in the womb, you know, just sitting there, you know, chilling, you know. Everybody thinks, oh, it's an abortion thing. No, it's just an unborn baby sitting in the womb. It's a nice picture, you know, and says, it's not my debt. Well, I didn't do it. You know, freedomsphoenix.com. Then we have another one of three babies, and one of them's being, you know, they all got barcodes on their butt, and one of them's being scanned on a grocery scanner. You know, just so you can see it's a, like a little table there. You know, a grocery scanner's got a barcode on the butt. And the kid's looking over his shoulder going, hey, that's not my debt. You know, how can you morally justify that these babies owe this debt? Sir, you give it the power to the Federal Reserve to print up their own debt. And you don't even have this Congress voting for to enslave your children. You got a central banker just does it. Wow. How bad does it have to get? So you can see where I'm just, this is just coming out. You know, yesterday and today, this just happened. That they're seriously talking about them being able to issue interest on money that they entice people to deposit with the Federal Reserve. And that interest is going to be created out of thin air, just like the money that they got. And at the same time, they're doing through the discount window, they're just giving money out anyway. Now, here, go take the money. You know, it's because we were regulating the economy somehow. Oh, and by the way, you know, it's cheaper than what we're going to pay you just, you know, taking, you know, here's this one window, go to the next window, come in here, and you're going to make profit. Heck, you can do it from your office with a computer keyboard. Don't even have to do anything. Wow. It's not their debt. I dare you to say it is, because this next generation, they're not playing. So what do the older generation do? I don't know. We'll talk about it some more when we come back.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
It ain't so groovy when you're screaming. You're rushing headlong, out of control, and you think you're so strong, but there ain't no stopping, and you can't stop rocking, and there's nothing you can do about it.
No, there's something you can do about it. How about, I'm complaining. I say, no. Can I go over here? Got chickens? I mean, you know, let's do something. Let's just survive this thing. I mean, holy crap. You know, this is, there's a lot of other things going on too. I mean, this is more than just them being able to just print their own money. It's who really runs everything. Who really controls? Who's in charge? This is, if they can create their own currency, if they can do their own money, then why are we even messing with the government? We're just ruled from the bankers. It's just, you know, cut through the crap and just go straight to them doing it. But, you know, there's some other stuff to be worried about, too. Go ahead and let's think about this. So what if the fact that only banks can participate? First, a developing story here is the filing for bank holding companies by hedge fund affiliates and private equity underwriters, which further blurs the line between banks and non-banks. Witness the recent grant of bank holding company status to Alcar LLC. An affiliate of Westside Advisors company. Though the conservative leverage of 2 to 3 times was enough to bring down at least one hedge fund, one wonders what leverage will be empowered with the ability to borrow at 0.12%. Now, this is the discount window. They can just, you know, it's not just banks. We just go to, you know, holding companies. Let them borrow. Let them do it. Why not them? Now, why are we limiting it to these guys, that can, which I think is weird anyway, that you just go up and, you know, I get the money. Oh, let's open it. I say, well, you know, give, let Fred do it. Secondly, it's not difficult to imagine, you know, J.P. Morgan setting up a new Fed bills bespoke derivatives desk to overcome any transferability hurdles. Now, these are big words and concepts and so on, and I'll just go and finish this paragraph, try to explain what they're talking about. One of the interesting features of the Fed bills is that they may be used as collateral at the discount window so that, in a pinch, a bank could regain access to the supposedly locked up funds. This is functionally no different than a bank pledging a T-bill at the window. However, as we witnessed last fall, the hoarding and dumping of T-bills made for some spectacular fluctuations, short-term, blah, blah, blah. This is what's going on. Let's say you have your little Fed bank account here. They're trying to pull all this extra money out of the system. They're going to pay interest on it. It's a whole other thing. But they put it in their little drawer over here. We're going to pull that out. Well, the government can't have access to that. You know, we're just, you know, pulling. We don't want you to, you know, spend it again, you know, or go out and buy stuff and do it. Just, you know, add to the problem. The whole reason we did this was to pull it out of the system. We pulled it out of the system. And what are you going to do? You're going to go spend it again? That would be bad, right? So what are they talking about here? They're talking about people using that money that they just gave the Federal Reserve to get it out of the banking system. To use that, because they get some kind of something for it. They get a piece of paper, say, you know, I got it on deposit there, got a receipt, I'm going to get interest for it. Then they're going to use that as collateral for more money. You know, they're going to say, all right, we've got this money here. We're going to, you know what we can do? We can even create derivatives based on this. And it'll be just more money on top of more money on top of more money. Because they can. This, I mean, they just sit and tell, yeah, we could do this. Yeah, you know, whatever. Word up. Wouldn't that be cool? Wow. I am aghast at what, and this is how, do we understand this kind of stuff that they were doing, I don't know, decades ago? Heck, 2 years ago. Heck, today. Do we understand this? No, we're not meant to. Heck, I don't understand it. You know, I'll tell you what I do understand. If you give the Federal Reserve the ability to create its own debt, the ability to take money and pay interest on it, where does that interest come from? You know, how do they manufacture it? They're not even loaning it or spending it into existence by the federal government. Then you turn over to the Federal Reserve to be, this is just madness, madness. Got chickens? I mean, we have to something. I the first thing we got to do is understand what's going on. Who runs this country? They got them to do the TARP. Here in Arizona, I remember when the NBC affiliate came to my house. They were looking. I mean, they always know. They got me on their Rolodex or whatever. You know, I've been doing a lot of activism stuff for a long time. If they need a hardcore libertarian kind, I mean, I get calls and all kinds of stuff. You know, should parents be able to track their kids with cell phones? That was one. You know, Governor Gary Johnson, who's governor of New Mexico, says in the drum war, oh, got to go talk to Ernie. He's got to have something to say about that. Whatever, you know, the food tax thing. There's always something. I get calls today from, you know, the PBS station. They're doing a thing on Phoenix's food tax. I mean, it's just, you know, Ernie's got something to say about something. Yeah, we need the other side. Well, guess what? Ernie's always on the other side. So I get NBC comes to my house and they say, all right, this TARP thing. Well, don't you think that? I go, nope. Nope, nope. Everybody else is going, well, we got to trust them. You know, they play the episode. You know, you could, you know, Ernest Hancock, NBC, Troubled Asset Relief Program, and it'll come up on YouTube. What they did is they come up and they said, Ernie, well, don't you believe that this and that and this will be the save and whatever? And I go, are you kidding me? Seriously, do you think this is the last check? Do you think this is it? This is going to cure it? Really? No, this is just this week's check. You know, that was the money quote. This is just this week's check. Well, it lost it. A lot of people don't know what really happened. It happened all around. It was a big deal, and people don't remember the chronology on this thing. It went before the Congress, and it lost. Within it, we did a poll on Freedom's Phoenix webpage. I go, how many days do you think, as we go, is it 1 to 2 days? 1 to 7 days? I don't remember what it was, something like that. How fast do you think it is before this comes back and gets passed? Well, most of the readers are like, yeah, man, you know, this is, it's already written. You know, here it comes. Sure enough, comes back. The way the rules work, to do that, you have to have somebody that voted against it be the sponsor that brings it back, or you can't bring it back. So who brings it back? Mr. Conservative from Arizona, John S.S. Shattuck, okay? And I told him and his supporters and people and politicos here that I go, he does this, man, I am going to, so it will never, ever leave him. He's done politically. He does this, I don't know what he's going to do, redeem himself, but here it comes. So we made signs. National socialization of the economy isn't fascist when I do it, John S.S. Shattuck. You know, I had the SS, you know, like a Nazi SS on it. I go, look, what'd you think was going to happen? There's nowhere he went. That sign wasn't, for months. And finally, he pulled out. Now I'm not running for re-election again. Damn Skippy, I'm never going to let you forget that. So what do we have John McCain out there now? Because they knew that this was hard. They saw it happen. When they had the first Tea Party here in Arizona at the Arizona State Capitol, they invited me to be one of the speakers. Okay. First thing I go, hey, man, I'm not with any of these guys. Nope. Right there by the podium was the sound system and the soundboard and all that kind of stuff for the Clear Channel affiliate here, KFYI. Who's one of the talk show hosts sitting there, the earphones on, going yakety, 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 that is the show's on at that time? J.D. Hayworth. He was a former congressman. I knew him from church back in the day. You know, he's just as bad as they are. You know, that's one reason why he lost, okay? So he lost to Harry Mitchell, a Democrat. Well, all of a sudden, he's out there, you know, holding the seat down there, KFYI, Clear Channel affiliate, knowing, oh, he's coming back. He gets up, oh, my good friend Ernie. Oh, my good friend Ernie. My good friend, yeah, my brother, right? And I'm going, yeah. Well, what happens is he runs against John McCain now. And what's one of the big things they're doing? TARP, the bailout. So what, just yesterday or day before we had on Freeman's Phoenix, John McCain, I was duped, man. I didn't understand. I was unawares. They told me they lied to me. You know, there's no philosophy with these guys. You know, there's no, I'm like, seriously? And John Shattuck, I knew he knew. You know, philosophically, his father was the co-writer or ghostwriter or whatever of A Heart of a Conservative for Barry Goldwater. He worked inside his campaign and his staff. John Shattuck's dad was one of the basis of this libertarian conservative Goldwater philosophy. He sure as hell knew what was going on. And then he did this. And I'm going to let him get away with that? Traitors first. How many times have I heard it? Yeah, well, he's one of the better guys. He's a better guy for it. And that's why they have these guys do it. What's the real hardcore conservative? Trent Franks, the senior editor for Freedom's Phoenix, Powell Gamble, will be the third time that he's run for Congress against Trent Franks. Again, I knew him from church. He and his wife, Josie, helped raise my kids in, you know, the nursery. I've known him for a long time. But, I mean, he's been very disappointing. And he's the one, the final vote, got to ride on Air Force One with Bush, and they didn't land in Arizona, they went to Las Vegas. But he got to ride on it because why? Because he was the final vote, a Republican, for Medicare D, $1 trillion prescription plan. When they need a Republican conservative, they go, oh, yeah, we'll get the conservatives to do it because, you know, what else are you going to do? You're going to vote for a liberal? What's the freaking difference? And now we got the Federal Reserve is going to just take us rocket sledding down into the abyss. And who's going to do it? Think the Republicans aren't going to help? Hell, they're at the front of the line! We'll talk to you tomorrow.